Today we want to talk about mothers getting it done.
All right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Mothers do get it done. Do I have any witnesses out there?
Amen.
I have been thinking about this for the last couple weeks, and one thing that came to my mind was that mothers are mothers before they are mothers. Y'all understand me. What I'm saying is that mothers, before they are mothers, exhibit the instincts of a mother prior to becoming mothers, especially if they are trained properly. Y'all stay with me now. Trained properly means that their mother was instructing them without even holding class.
Yes.
Y'all remember, mother didn't have to hold no class. She just told you what to do and how to do it, and from there you learn how to do what you do.
Amen.
Most of us learn how to cook from our mothers. Most of us learn how to keep a room clean from our mothers. Now, Dad would come in every now and then, boy, get that room together. But Mom would come in and actually make the bed. And then when they instruct you, boy, don't mess this bed up. Amen. And some mothers, before they actually became mothers, had some dominant characteristics.
Come on,
some like being bossy.
Come on, Pastor.
Some were caring. Some were good cooks. Some were excellent caregivers. But mostly, all women display all of those characteristics and more at different times in their life. Not every woman exhibits those instincts prior to having a child, but when they have a child, those instincts kick in. There are a few outliers, meaning there are some women who are totally clueless, just like there are some men that are totally clueless as to what motherhood means. But on the whole, most women have an instinctive nature when it comes to being a mother, and kicks in when they conceive. I've heard of some people stopping, you know, some vices when they become, when they're going through life. But I often hear most of those come from mothers that are doing some things that they know they shouldn't be doing. But when they get pregnant, they say, I'm not doing that no more. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They used to smoke, I'm not smoking no more. They used to drink, I'm not drinking no more. Why? Because you carry life. Amen. Amen. Amen? And then you got some mothers that are not actually biological mothers, but they take on the seed of someone else and provide just as much love to that particular child as if they birthed that child themselves. When a woman who is secure in herself,
come on, Pastor,
and understands who God made her to be, she will do whatever it takes to make sure her family is taken care of.
Amen.
Do I have any witnesses in the building?
Amen.
Mothers will do whatever it takes to make sure that the child is taken care of. There are two stories that I want to hit on briefly, just for a few moments. Both reside in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, and you can check my exegesis when I get home. When you get home, you can check it out for yourself, but I looked it over pretty good.
All right.
And in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, the first, and you got to understand this. Scripture is in the middle of war.
Yes. Yes.
War is going on before the 4th chapter of 2 Kings and after.
Yes.
The 4th chapter of 2 Kings are two stories here that are embedded in Scripture to let us know something about mothers.
Yes.
The first one is about a prophet's wife. And her husband has died. And y'all know that story where you have a first lady and the husband dies. Nobody really reaches out to take care of the first lady after the husband died. Y'all ought to talk back to me.
Come on, Pastor.
She is now without income. And the Bible says in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, that the creditor now was to come and take her sons and make them slaves. So she goes to Elisha, who has picked up Elijah's mantle. Elisha now is a powerful man of God. Holy man of God, that when he speaks, God does just what comes out of his mouth. God instructs him, he says it, and God does it. Y'all ain't seen it. And so there are miracles now that are taking place in the land. So this woman who has lost her husband and her sons are about to be taken captive and made slaves of, she goes to Elijah and asks Elijah what to do in her situation. Elijah asks her, well, what do you have in your house?
Yes, come on.
Now, I looked at that scripture, I studied it, I read it over my mind, meditated, prayed on it, and I think this was a literal response. And what I mean by literal is this, is that all she had in the house is what she said she had. Y'all ain't saying nothing back to me. Have you ever been down to your last?
Yes, yes.
And God comes in and works some things out for you. Amen. Mothers, I got a word for you on today. You might be down to your last, but God has something for you. Her answer is, I have a pot of oil. In other words, I ain't got no furniture. I ain't got no kitchen equipment. I ain't got no TV. I don't have no remote. I don't have no car. All I have is this pot of oil. She ain't even got no meal to mix the oil with. She just has oil. What you gonna do with some oil?
Well, hold on now.
It's funny how God will do some things that at her very bottom, God instructs her to start a business.
Y'all ain't saying nothing down.
Watch this. Tells her to start a business. What do you mean, Pastor, start a business? He tells her, go borrow every vessel you can find from your friends and neighbors. Sound like a business venture to me. And when you get back home, fill up every vessel with the oil that you have in your house. Y'all stay with me here. Somebody look at a mother and say, mother, start your business. Your business is about to take off. Y'all be in the Lord and have mercy. Gives her instruction to fill up every vessel. Now, the amount of oil she had should not have filled up every vessel that she had borrowed from her family and her friend. But God, somebody say, but God. Somebody say it again, but God. She borrowed every vessel, and the Bible lets us know that the oil stayed. In other words, it never ran out. When God tells you to do something, if you do it according to his word, it will never run out. Woo!
Amen.
Fill them up with oil. Then said the instruction was, call me after you fill them up. Right? So she does. The Bible says that Elijah told her, go in your house. Don't let nobody in. Stop letting everybody in your business. Because what God want to do is for you. Y'all ain't saying nothing back to me. ask you because everybody would say, I don't know how much oil. See, now because now it becomes an act of faith. When God tells you to do something and you know it, you're looking at it with your physical eyes. Amen. And you know in your mind, you're saying, wait a minute, this oil don't match up with how many vessels I got. If you let somebody else in, they're going to bring it out that what you have don't match up with what you got. And so when God tells you to do something, most times you look at it, it don't match up. But God being an awesome God.
Come on.
Awesome God. Go in the house.
Yes, yes.
Close the door.
That's right.
Don't let nobody in. Uh-huh. Okay. She goes in the house. Close the door.
Yeah.
Starts pouring the oil.
Mm-hmm.
Oil stays.
Yeah.
I mean, she's filling up.
Yeah.
She got little vessels,
uh-huh.
big vessels,
uh-huh.
vessels up to her waist.
Yeah.
Every size. She's filling them up. It's a business now that she's starting. But it ain't her coming out party yet.
Yes, yes, yes.
So what happens is that after she fills the vessels, Elijah said, after you do all that, call me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to tell you what to do next.
Uh-huh,
so she calls me. She says, Elijah, I filled it up. Now, I can almost imagine her just in utter, this oil made it all the way through? Wow. Let me call Elijah and see what Elijah got. What else he got to say to me? So she calls Elijah. Elijah says this. He says, go pay off the creditor. Sell the rest. And live off the profits.
Amen.
Wait. You mean he took a little bit and made a lot of it? He multiplied exponentially? You mean we serve a God that can absolutely bring some things to pass? He can tell you to start a business when you flat broke. Y'all ain't say that back to me. That sounds like a business venture to me. Pay off your creditors. In other words, get folk out your life that mean to do you harm. Hallelujah. The Bible says, oh no man. Get them out your life. Look at somebody say, get them out your life. Pay them off. Get them out your life. And then start your business. Sell off all the oil. And whatever you bring in after you pay your creditor, live off the rest. What I got from this is there are no limits on God other than what we put on him. God is a God that operates outside the possibility of limitation. That if you can simply believe it, God can absolutely achieve it. And when I think about the things that God has for us to do, I can absolutely believe God right now. That even though it don't look like it, I know God is able to bring it to pass. Because my God is an awesome God. He's an on-time God. And he can do some things that no man can do.
Hallelujah.
Look at somebody say, don't put no limits on God. I know you might be down to your last. You might be looking at double negative in the bank. But don't put no limits on your God. The same God that did it then is the same God that can do it now. If he worked it out then, he can work it out now. I once was young, but now I'm old. And I never seen a righteous forsaken, nor his seed. Start your business, mama.
Amen. Yeah. Double time.
Okay, I'm gonna sit down. Oh, thank you. Woo. Hallelujah.
something is captivating, how God in desperate times in your life will show up the most powerful. In other words, when you're going through something and you think there's no way out and the room is totally dark, God will show up, turn on the light, show you where the key is, let you out the door, open the door, allow you to step through it, and allow you to achieve just what it is. Don't tell me what God can't do.
Amen.
And all some of you simply need to do is just open up your faith and allow God to operate in your life. It's even harder now than it was before because we live in an age of social media where you hear all types of stuff and all types of doctrines. And people will tell you, well, this, not this, it's not that, it's not this, it's not that, it's not this, God can't do this. You are absolutely crazy. God can do it, but are you willing to act on it? That's the question. When God tells you to do something, you got to act on it. Now notice this, you got to notice in the scripture, God gave her something to do through the prophet. She had to act on it herself. Now, because she could have sat on her backside and not and went and got the vessels. And she would have been broken and he would have came and took her sons and they would have been slaves. So when God tells you to do something, you literally have to get up off your backside and go do it. Stop being lazy. God will not contradict his word. He's not just going to rain down and come down from heaven. He gives you instruction as to what you should do and you got to go do it. Now, when he tells you to go do it, don't doubt what he tells you to do. If you do it his way, what will come to pass will blow everybody's mind. They'll ask you how you get this. And you say, oh, no, no. You got to let them know, I don't know how I got this. God told me to do some things and things begin to prosper. What was your formula? I followed directions out. How did you do it? I had faith.
Amen.
Now, there's a second story. It begins in the 8th verse. This one's a little bit more complicated.
Yes, it is. Not impossible.
Elijah on occurrence would go through this town called Shunem. And he encounters a woman who's a powerful woman. The Bible says that she's rich. This woman sees this man coming through town every time he comes through town. So she says to him, why don't you come on in and have a meal?
Go ahead.
Now, her instincts for motherhood are kicking in.
Say it.
Make it plain.
Come on in. So he comes in, has a meal. I think it happens a few more times. And then if you look in your Bible, the woman says to her husband, I think we should build a room. Because this is a holy man of God. I have to think about that for a minute. There's a difference between man of God and holy man. You got some men of God that ain't worth a nickel. But if you are holy, sanctified man of God, somebody can tell. I'm talking to somebody out there. You just can't be ordinary. You got to be holy.
Holy.
Be ye holy because I'm holy.